Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
How does a mission president take care of his tax liabilities? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past broadcast, we have been looking at the Mission President's Handbook, specifically looking under Appendix B, titled Family Finances, and the compensation that a mission president receives in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. As we've said, we're not trying to take away from the important duties that a mission president has within the Mormon structure. However, we have a lot of LDS people that insist that the men who run the church don't receive any compensation. That just is not true. And we know that to be a fact when it comes to the mission presidents. And there are several mission presidents all over the world. The Mormon church has missions all over the place. And so we're looking at some of the perks that are involved in being a mission president. And let me just recap very quickly. It says, while you are serving as mission president, the church reimburses the necessary living expenses for you, your wife, and your dependent children. Dependent children are defined as those who are under age 26, who have not been married, and are not employed full-time. And then it goes on to explain what some of those living expenses are: food, clothing, household supplies, family activities, dry cleaning, personal long-distance calls, modest gifts for Christmas, birthdays, or anniversary, medical expenses, support for children serving full-time missions, round trips for each unmarried child under age 26 to visit you in the mission, elementary and secondary school expenses for tuition, fees, books, and materials, undergraduate tuition at an accredited college or university that offers 2 or 4 year degrees. This is just some of it. And then you get into health insurance. It also covers that as well. Now, we've been kind of throwing out some numbers based on what we would assume the average family of five in this mission president's family. What would that cost living in Utah? Now, we know that Utah is much cheaper to live in than some states, especially like California, New York, or Connecticut, and places like that. But what does it all add up to?
Well, and I want people to know that we have an article on our main page, mrm.org, and they can see the information that we're talking about here, written in a prose manner. But I'm going to have these numbers up as well for people to look at. And we are assuming we're talking about a family of five. The husband, the mission president, is 55. The wife is 50. And they have three kids, 22, 17, and 14. Let's just go through what we've been talking about these past few days and see what those things would cost. For rent, we're going to call it a smaller house, 4-bedroom, 3-bath, in Utah, fully furnished. I'm going to give them a deal, $2,000.
And we know that's very cheap because we know for a fact that when Jeffrey Holland was mission president in Sacramento, California, the missionaries used to call his house the Holland Mansion.
Yeah, he lived on
top
of the hill.
You don't normally call a house that's about $2,000 a month a mansion.
No, and Utah's $2,000 home would be $4,000 in California. But let's just say $2,000. Gas, electric, water, and sewer, we're going to use a figure of $265 times that by 12. We're looking at about $3,200. Then we've got the cable, the phone, the internet package, looking at about $150 a month because they have to have those things times that by 12. We're looking at $1,800. We had talked yesterday about a maid, $12 an hour, 80 hours in a week, or in a month, excuse me. $1,000 times 12 months, that's $12,000 for the maid. We're going to give them a break on the gardener because we're just going to say it's $40 a week for them during the 7 months to manage the outside of the house. About 160 times 7 months would be about $1,100. Then we've got food. Conservatively, for a family of five, let's say $1,000 times that by 12. got about $12,000, and you had said that your daughter, that was about
the, yeah, she has five little boys, and she pays about $1,000 a month.
That, we're being conservative because we're going to include all the toilet papers and household supplies in there as well.
Toilet
so
paper.
you got $12,000 there, mm-hmm. And then car. Let's just say they're going to lease a Camry. That's $1,000 per year just to pay for the three. Well, we're going to average that over 3 years because I think it's about $3,000+ at upfront fees.
I think we figured that there. Sometimes you can get a deal at a dealership. You can rent a, you can lease a car for about $200. Sometimes they have deals. Many times it's much more than that. We're still giving them a deal.
But it's going to be a upfront fee too. So you're
right. You have to usually pay about $3,600 up front. You average that out over 3 years. You tack on at least $1,100.
Yeah. So it's going to be about somewhere in the $3,400 range a year just to have the car. The gas, we're going to figure he goes the maximum of 12,000 miles you're allowed on a lease, and that would be somewhere in the area of $1,300 just in the gas.
Now, we should mention, to be fair, that if a businessman is using the vehicle for business expenses, that's all, you can write all that off, or the company can reimburse you at a rate of, it's a little over 50 cents per mile. So we understand that whole amount would not be just for personal use. We understand that. We want to be fair about that. Go ahead.
As far as the car insurance for the husband and wife, we're going to give a figure of about, we're going to figure they have no accidents or tickets, about $1,200 a year on that. Now, the two kids driving, I'm not sure if that's covered or not, so we're going to leave that alone. So they'll have to pay their own. But as far as the wife and the husband, they're going to get that covered. As far as the car maintenance, we're not going to charge anything on that because it's a new car. Mm-hmm. And the mission vehicle as well, that they can use that second mission vehicle for errands, for taking the kids to school and all the rest.
Shopping.
But we're going to pretend that car doesn't exist. So they're only paying for one car. Life insurance, it's said that they could go $1,200 in the course of a year. Let's just go $1,000. If they're going to have a $250,000 policy for him, maybe a $100,000 policy for her, the ages that they're at, $80 or so a month, about $1,000 for that. Health insurance, figure at least $1,000 a month for a good health insurance plan. That's $12,000 a year. Dental insurance, $350 a year, times that by four, equals about $1,400. Clothing, $69. We said on one of the shows, on the average per person, times five people, that's $350 a month. Multiply that by 12, you're going to come out at about $4,100. All the suits, all the dresses, everything that you buy.
And again, we want to inject here. We know that some families certainly don't pay that much. Some pay much more. It's kind of difficult to get an average because of people's different lifestyles.
Family activities are covered here. And so we're just going to throw out a $1,000 figure, figuring, you know, I'm not sure if that's a weekend or two away or a movie night or whatever that is. Let's just figure $1,000.
If it includes getting away for a weekend, you're talking about at least, if you have a family of five, you're probably going to need two rooms. And the average hotel rate is probably going to be at least $70, $80, sometimes $90, $100 a night.
So that, again, we're being conservative.
Yes.
I mean, but they get this covered. Dry cleaning, the suits and the dresses and everything else that needs to be done, $50. That would be $600. Phones for five smartphones, a package would be $200. Multiply that by 12 is $2,400. We also said that the average for gifts over the course of a year would be about $200. There's another $2,400. Missions, $400 a month times 12. That 17-year-old is going to become 18 very soon. He's going to go on a mission. It's going to cost the family $4,800, but that's being paid for out of the stipend they get. Round trip, one trip per child, that 22-year-old, let's just figure he's going to Stanford. He's going to California. So that's $300. School expenses for two kids at the middle school, high school, elementary. Figure over the course of a year, about $500 for that. College undergrad, full time. We said it would be a package of tuition of about $4,600 a year for that 22-year-old. So you have to add in $4,600 as part of the perk. Dance lessons, $50 a month times 12 months. They're going to go year-round. That's $600 for the dance lessons or horse lessons or whatever you want to have for that one child. The other child is club soccer, $100 times 12. That's $1,200. And so, Bill, we are at, with all of that, and not including tithing, but we are at over $97,000.
Over $97,000. And here's the amazing thing, folks. Here's what it says under tax issues on page 82. Because you are engaged in volunteer religious service, no employer-employee relationship exists between you and the church. As a result, any funds reimbursed to you from the church are not considered income for tax purposes. They are not reported to the government, and taxes are not withheld with regard to these funds. So in the eyes of the Mormon church, you're a volunteer. Pastors don't get away with that. Rabbis don't get away with that. Priests in the Catholic Church don't get away with that. They're not considered volunteers. There is a tax liability if you are in the ministry elsewhere. But for some reason, the Mormon Church says that this is a volunteer position. Because you are engaged in volunteer religious service, no employer-employee relationship exists between you and the church. It goes on to say, to avoid raising unnecessary tax questions, please follow these guidelines closely. Bullet point one, do not share information on funds you receive from the church with those who help you with financial or tax matters. When I go to my tax guy, I'm telling him everything. I am not hiding anything. But they are actually told not to share. And here's another bullet point. Never represent in any way that you are paid for your service. And this is why when you talk to a Mormon, do you have a paid ministry? No. If you're a Latter-day Saint listening to this, go up to a man that you know is a mission president and you look him in the eye and you ask him, are you paid for your service? And I'll bet you he's going to look you right back and say, no.
Well, wow. If he does,
it's all a semantical game.
Yeah, it is.
It says here in another bullet point, if you are required to file an income tax report for other purposes, do not list any funds you receive from the church, regardless of where you serve or where you hold citizenship. And not only that, we also know that it says, you do not pay tithing on money reimbursed to you by the church. If you have income that should be tithed, you should normally pay tithing to the ward where your membership records are located. But they don't even pay tithing off of this, whereas the average member would have to pay it. So that is considered volunteer, folks. Does it sound like it's volunteer to you? And shouldn't that be considered income?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons' Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.